Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is the reading from the lectern. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we think of biblical terms which are used for us believers, some of these are quite appealing. We think, for example, of the phrase, the children of God, which brings us comfort and reassurance. Or we remember that the Bible refers to us as heirs. We are all going to possess the same glorious treasure. This gives us hope and confidence. How then about the term that we just heard about in our text, that we are stones? This at first prompts a different reaction. Each of us probably had the initial thought, stones as a description doesn't do anything for me. That leaves me kind of flat. Such a reaction is understandable. Nevertheless, the Apostle Peter chose this word, and he was writing under inspiration. Therefore, this noun must convey significant spiritual truth worth bringing forth on the basis of these first verses from 1 Peter chapter 2. We observe from the start that Jesus is called a stone. In fact, the stone. Now we begin to warm up a little bit to the term. The stone, though, was and is rejected by men. The incarnate Son of God came into the world to be the Savior of sinful, fallen humanity. But the leaders of Christ's countrymen rejected him. He was not the type of Savior they wanted. They were looking for one who would set up an earthly empire. This act of the Jewish leaders, this rejecting, has been repeated by people throughout the centuries. And of course, many today reject Jesus. So Peter calls Christ the stone rejected by men. Because his own people turned against him, Christ was nailed to a cross and died a horrible, agonizing death. Jesus, on the one hand, was and is despised and rejected by men. But on the other hand, he was and is, as Peter writes, chosen by God and precious to him. God chose his Son to be the Redeemer of the world and sent him on his saving mission. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, God the Father announced concerning him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Christ accomplished his work. He carried out his mission. As the world's substitute, he lived a perfect life for everyone, and then he paid for the sins of all with his suffering and death on the cross. God showed his full acceptance of Christ's self-sacrifice for us, his being totally satisfied with the atoning work of Jesus by raising Christ from the dead. So Peter, talking about our victorious, risen Redeemer, calls him the living stone. Christ, exalted to the right hand of God the Father, is the head of the Christian church. Or as other passages in Scripture describe him, he is the chief stone or the cornerstone of the church, the spiritual house of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the stone the builders, the leaders of the Jews, rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Peter describes us as coming to Jesus, the living stone. The Holy Spirit brought us to faith in Christ, and now every day as believers, we come to Christ in faith. With Jesus, believing in him by God's grace, we live. We are spiritually alive. Everlasting life is ours. Our text reminds us that we are living stones. Christ, the living stone, has made us such. How are we stones? We are built by God into, we are made into, we are part of a spiritual house. This house is the spiritual house of God, the Christian church, made up of all believers, with Christ as the cornerstone. God dwells within this house. We have fellowship with God. Each of us is connected with Jesus, the chief stone, and at the same time, we are joined to one another. So we are all a portion of a wonderful structure. Each of us is valuable to the Lord, being an important part of the church, filling a niche in this house of God. Now, our being called stones excites us. Further, this house of God, of which we are a part, will endure. Human forces will attack it. The devil and all the demons will try to demolish it. But none of these enemies will prevail. God will protect this structure, his church, and this spiritual house alone will remain standing on Judgment Day and will continue into the next age. On that last day, the Christian church will be triumphant, while all other structures, physical and spiritual, will lie in ruins, demolished forever. Peter, in these verses, gives us strong encouragement to show that we are such living stones by the way we live. He reminds us that the Christian life is characterized by having put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. His vice list is far from complete. Yet even looking at this relatively short list, we see wrongs in which we have engaged. We know of other ways, too, in which we have disobeyed God. Therefore, we confess our sins to God, ask for forgiveness, rejoice in our full pardon for Jesus' sake, and resolve to live the life of repentance in the power of Christ. United with Christ, the living stone, we as living stones in the house of God can overcome sin. Let us keep on ridding ourselves of the vices mentioned in this passage and other sins as well. Peter also urges us, as stones of God's spiritual house, to desire the Word of God. Through this Word, we were made alive in the first place. We are to keep on having an intense hunger for this Word, so that, according to Peter, we may grow up into salvation. This pure word gives us the nourishment we need to keep us spiritually alive and healthy. Through this word, God preserves us in the true faith and grants us spiritual growth. Through the word, God motivates us and gives us the power to overcome sin and to obey his will. Through the word, the pure spiritual milk, we experience these blessings of God. We indeed taste that the Lord is good. Peter brings out one other truth related to our stonehood. He writes that we are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This spiritual house has been built for a priesthood, to offer up sacrifices to God. So this house is a temple or sanctuary in which God lives and receives these sacrifices. Who makes up this priesthood? You, I, and all believers. We are both the house, which is built of living stones, and the priesthood. This house and its priesthood are never separated. We are a holy priesthood because we have been cleansed of all of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. We are a priesthood because we offer up sacrifices to God, spiritual sacrifices. These are praises to God, confessions of Him, actually our whole lives, which are devoted to serving Him, which means that we serve other people. So we are stones. What a great description. Specifically, we are living stones, built into a spiritual house with Christ, the living stone, as the cornerstone. Our position as such living stones also involves our being the priesthood of that house, offering up sacrifices to God. So I salute you as fellow living stones, and together we say, thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.